This is CliffCentral.com.
Happy Friday. Good morning, Ben.
Hi, sir.
Good morning, Leanne.
Didn't think we'd get here. Finally.
My, didn't think we'd get here, but we are here. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. It's a Friday edition. No Politics Friday. Oh, yay.
Yay for that.
Yay. Always something to look forward to.
No Politics Friday after No Power Week.
Yeah. Hard to avoid politics, hey? After that.
This has been a really tough week in terms of consciously trying not to complain.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where your resolve, your everything in a positive sense is being tested. But like tested.
There was something to complain about this week, whether it was the rain, whether it was load shedding, if you particularly live in Johannesburg, whether it was the robots not working out, there was just something to complain about.
Yeah.
But we made it through.
All we hear is Friday, and people will have Valentine's hangovers or Valentine's hookups. I mean, it's a whole deck of cards as to the emotions that could be running through people's minds.
Deck of cards?
Yeah.
A whole deck of cards.
No, deck of cards. Anyway, moving on.
How was everyone's Valentine's Day?
Yeah, let's get into that in a bit. Just want to say off the bat as well, Gareth isn't on the show this morning. He's feeling a little ill, so he's just taking a bit of a duvet day, and he'll be back with us on Monday morning. But the show goes on.
It does, yeah, with you.
And you, Ben, and Leanne, and Pinky as well. So Leanne, how was your Valentine's Day?
I actually forgot that it was Valentine's Day. You know what I mean? One
is
of those.
Another day?
Yeah.
Well, I had great plans of watching Dirty Dancing in an open-air cinema.
With your fiancé?
But, you know, the weather. So that didn't happen. So then I had great plans of watching Dirty Dancing at home, and then, you know.
The load shedding.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, I didn't really think of that. That's kind of anticlimactic.
Just a bit. Yeah, no, you make do. You carry on. You do what you can. Let's try to find positive things.
Wait, so this open-air cinema thing, I know it's a trend now, so it was an event.
Yeah.
And you buy tickets for it. Do they refund you now on this basis?
So what they've done is that they've postponed it now till Tuesday. So there'll be no refunds to the event, but they'll put it out on Tuesday. Weather permitting, if it might eventually stop raining.
And it's still Valentine's Day themed?
Yes, it's still the exact same thing, but now you get to have Valentine's Day next Tuesday.
Well, it's the month of love, isn't it?
Doesn't exactly count.
Yeah, it's like it's the month of everything. If your something is in that month, it's the whole month. Like your birthday months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so over celebrating my birthday now. I'm too tired. I'm done with it. But I was talking to someone in corporate who works in a communications division of this company who had planned this Valentine's Day celebration for the company and had even ordered little gifts for everyone in the company. The delivery service was horribly late and said, oh, sorry, no, the earliest we can get these gifts to you is by the 16th. I'm like, well, doesn't that defeat the entire purpose of these?
Well, that's just it. But like, then again, Valentine's Day, we had this chat about like, oh, it's just a fad, whatever. And I said, you know, try to be positive about it. But logistically, it's just very difficult when everybody wants to send something on one day.
Yeah.
Because prices go up and sometimes there's no capacity for it. But that's the whole thing. It's like, we all crave these moments we can make special. It's like, if you were very sort of economically savvy, you would celebrate Christmas on like the 28th of December because everything's cheap after that.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
Exactly, I agree. It's like people who say, well, I don't have to watch live sports, I'll just record it and watch it the next day. No, because it's happened.
Yeah.
It's like you need moments to be special because they're in the moment.
Yeah, I know a lot of people can say it's a money-making scheme and why only celebrate your love on one particular day and not every day of the year. Like, I'm not saying that's not important, but I'm saying it's the day. No, the day of love. Do all of the corny things. I think it's sweet. So you're still planning on going nonetheless on Tuesday?
No, I've given my tickets to a friend of mine because Daniela will be in Cape Town. She leaves on Sunday.
Not the type of thing you want to go to alone, hey?
Would be a bit odd. Watching Dirty Dancing by myself.
I love the corniness of it, though. You are literally going to be outside
in the dark. Having the time of my life.
Oh, I see what you did there. Okay, Ben, fine. Mm-hmm.
But instead, Eskom and the rain put me in the corner. So what could I do?
Look, God bless the world if I ever decide to be in a relationship. Because I don't think a day like Valentine's Day is one I'd overlook at all. And I'd want to go, like, all out all the time.
Well, there's that, you know, spark of youth.
By all the time, I don't mean every single day. But I mean, I'm that person who'd want to stop traffic and propose in the middle of traffic. Just, yeah. You know, like that ridiculous. But anyway, so Leanne, it was just another day for you.
Yeah, just another day. And I was supposed to watch The Bachelor, South Africa.
Yeah, right. I couldn't even do that either.
I was at my folks, so I wasn't going to subject them to that. So I thought I'd get it on catch up when I got home, and it wasn't on yet. I see it's on now.
Okay, so I had an accidental sleep last night. You know, one of those moments where you pass out and really end up sleeping through the night.
Just call it what it is, four vodkas.
Actually didn't drink last night. Thank you very much. I'll state that right up front. So I didn't watch it, but as I woke up, I realized I don't want to have any sort of spoilers up until I watch it for the first time. I think the only thing that I know so far is what you sent in the group. So I know one of the contestants who is...
I know someone got a rose. So you get to, because of load shedding, I didn't get to watch it either.
Mm. Oh, where did you see that? On social media?
Yeah, so I went to Twitter and then people were tweeting about it. So I wanted to see what kind of reaction it was. Because remember last year we said we're going to actually dedicate ourselves to a reality show this year.
Yes.
And we all said, okay, fine.
And it's gone off to a very bad start.
A very bad start. None of us watched the first episode because we all had load shedding.
So the news that Ben sent us was this news flash that Reva Steenkamp's best friend Gina Myers was revealed as a contestant on the Bachelor.
So how many years since Oscar murdered her?
Six
years.
Wow.
I think we all remember where we were when we heard the Oscar news.
Yeah.
It says here that the photos were supplied by the Myers family, so I'm wondering if it was a press release from her side announcing her own appearance. I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't want to...
I reserve comment.
I don't want to pass judgment before I've watched it and before I've heard from Gina herself.
Mm.
If she's on the show with the whole Reva angle, I think that's overrated and I think that's slightly tacky. But if, you know...
Or it's just the character that she's being forced to play.
Yeah, if it's something that has been thrown on her or this is just the press... You know, just dubbing her the Oscar girl, then okay, that's a different story. Yeah. But once again, I won't pass judgment up until I watch it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think so. We're all going to watch it before next week. So, we have the first episode down. So, if you were expecting a Bachelor update this morning and you're also on, you know, part of this, please don't spoil it for us. We do apologize that we haven't seen it. But we'll have Bachelor talk next week and Gareth's back.
Yeah. No, just no spoilers.
No spoilers. Or you can give us spoilers. I mean, I'm not going to read anyway, but Sia might get really upset.
Yeah, well...
Because it'd be a bit of a dick to do it.
Because those are my weekend plans now, just to get home and watch The Bachelor. Interestingly enough, I bumped into Gina this week. So, I don't know... Does anyone know where they shoot the show? I should find out then.
Has the show, like... Is it
finished?
Yeah,
they're done.
I presume so, because she was out and about this week.
Also,
it must be so difficult because obviously
they've got to keep it quiet.
You sign those non-disclosure whatever, but I mean, everyone wants to say something, right?
Yeah. In the meantime, you've like probably proposed to someone, you're engaged to be married, you've seen the person on the side now because you're not allowed to be seen in public. That's how it works in America.
Yeah. I'd love to know like the nitty-gritty of this because if you're then with some other guy in public, like, well, obviously she didn't win.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess you also have to alter your life in that way.
Yeah. Is there enough money to justify this?
See, I don't know in South African terms.
So it always goes back to that show that we spoke about a few years ago called, I think, Unreal? So it was like The Bachelor. Yes. Yeah, so...
It's like
a spoof as to what goes behind the scenes of like filming a show.
Yeah,
like
but
The
like
Bachelor.
So real. But you kind of think like, I reckon it's exactly like that. I mean, there's probably a reason why that show was made because people had information. They thought, you know what, we have to actually make a show to show you how real this is.
So it's an unfair comparison in some sense, but, you know, we have to compare. In like The Bachelor US and The Bachelor South Africa, one of the things that works in America is the fact that they have massive budgets. So they are able to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leanne, because you actually watch The Bachelor. They're able to pay them out a lot of money and straight after...
pay their families off.
Yeah, they also quit their jobs
for a few months. So as soon as the show has wrapped up filming, you know, the production company will put The Bachelor and probably the final two girls up in a house somewhere so that they aren't out in public, that people don't catch wind of anything. And also, you know, with a payday, after you're done with a show like that, you're able to move in together. If you're living on different coasts, you can get a house somewhere in the middle, or you move to the other side of the country with your person and you're actually able to live and have a proper relationship for a couple of months. But I don't know in South Africa with our budgets if these people will be moving in together, will be
probably given like jobs and probably given like a streetwise too on the way out.
RDP housing.
Yeah.
And a pat on the back. Like, thanks for coming.
Like, don't tell anyone. Otherwise, we'll sue you.
I don't know, hey? Mnet still technically owns one of the properties that they own is the Big Brother house here in Joburg. So what if they're putting The Bachelor up there and they've
didn't they burn down?
No, they also... I know the one they also own that's still around.
Which was on the burn down? That was because Big Brother Africa, didn't it?
Like, I think those are studios that burned down. They now actually also film in a proper house.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Now I know.
Yeah, you learn something new every single day. So it has actually, now that I saw the Gina thing and I was thinking about it because someone raised up in conversation yesterday, it has been 6 years since the Oscar saga. It's quite crazy to think about it in that way.
It feels shorter. And I mean, if you think he's serving a, 11-year sentence? 11 or 13? I think 11.
And he might be 3 or 4 years deep into that.
Yeah.
Time is moving by so quickly. And to think then in 10 years' time, he might be out and he might be...
Well, you'll see him at Atasha's in 10 years. Less.
I can't picture Oscar out and about and what his life will be like. But I guess that's an issue for 10 years' time. Do you remember where you were when you heard the news? Where were you, Leon?
I was in studio with Gareth.
Oh, right. You guys were doing a live show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then did you guys break the news that Oscar killed his girlfriend? Or
we did.
How did you guys do it?
Through a news flash. And at that point, we all thought, oh my gosh, what a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because you immediately flash back to...
Suckers, buying the hype already.
You knew that it was an intruder that he was probably trying to shoot.
Mm.
That's what you believed automatically.
On paper, it was like that.
I remember coming out of a TV interview, so my phone was off, so I turned it on. And then I have a variety of WhatsApp groups that go by different names, revealing different things about life. And my one friend said...
That is so vague, but so juicy.
And my one friend said, I think Oscar just killed his girlfriend. It's quite... There's a lot more to the story. And then,
I was in matric at the time.
You were?
2013, yeah. It was my final year in high school. Oh, whatever. Even Pinky, like, at the back is now rolling her eyes at this. Folks, moving on.
Well, we'll get to Pinky in a sec.
And in my young 18-year-old mind, I was just grateful that, because we were, our first lesson that day, I'll never forget, was a science lesson. And I was just grateful that we had something to preoccupy us and take our focus off actual learning. I was like, anybody got time for the science thing? Because our teacher was now obsessed with this. So instead of focusing on our lesson, she was like on her computer. She was trying to find out what it was. I remember we switched the radio on to hear updates of what was going on. It was a day, half the school day was gone and solely devoted to Oscar at this point. It was absolutely crazy. So if you want to add, let us know where you were, what was going on. You can Skype us, Cliff Central Studio, or else you can call us 0861-555-189. Let us know where you were.
And also how long it took you before, if you were one of those that believed the intruder story from the beginning, how long it took you to realize that you were wrong.
Yes, good point.
because for me it was weeks.
Yeah,
but don't laugh at me.
I'm not judging you.
Yeah, and there's still a thread of you that thinks Oscar's innocent. You're still harboring onto it somewhere deep down.
It could be.
Exactly.
I really do equate the Oscar case and the saga overall to how famed the O.J. Simpson and alleged murders are. Do we still have to say alleged to this day? Because technically he wasn't found guilty of the murders.
But the civil case proved that he was just a dickbag. Anyway, they made it. They made
the
a
murder
TV show, yeah,
around O.J. Simpson. I really do equate the two because I don't think we'll ever truly know. And there are so many interviewers in America who have said that they just want to interview O.J. Simpson and have him just frankly state out in front of them and state what happened and him confess on air. I think we'll have that situation in South Africa. I think we'll never know the truth, but we'll just always be up in the air.
So we got really amazing scientists in this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can do a variety of things. Now, there's got to be, I know this truth serum. For me, it's just tequila. But there's got to be something that's like so amazing that you can literally get someone and inject them with like a human rights violation overload. I know, but hear me out. And you should be able to just inject someone with something and then they just tell the truth. So you get them in on trial. If there's a reasonable enough doubt that this person is guilty of something,
yeah,
and they're in court, inject them with the stuff. You cut back on all this court time. You cut back on all those necessary lawyer fees. And boom, there you go. Did you do it? Yeah. Kill them all. Head the bitch.
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, come on. But let's be honest. If there's reasonable enough doubt to get you in a position like this, this is where the human rights are kind of laid a bit.
Mm.
Then why not? Why can't we have this power truth serum? Why can't we just cut through this shit in life a bit more? Have this amazing truth serum and let that be justice.
Because our constitution says innocent until proven guilty.
Well, this truth serum will prove the guilty.
But Ben, okay, I'm not a big law person, so...
It's just, you know, look, what made me think about this is running through this whole From Badal Murder book.
Yeah.
And how long it took and how many people were involved and how just the process and process and process. It was so obvious this guy hacked his family to death.
Mm.
But the drawn-out drama and the stress and... it was just too much. Inject the little bastard with the stuff, just keep it moving. 5 minutes, throw him in jail.
Okay, there might be merit in what you're saying, sure.
You obviously go through a legal process where you're deemed, is he in a position where he has to not have the serum?
Is he a good candidate?
Yeah, so he's the prime suspect.
Mm.
Basically, the alibi doesn't check up. There's witnesses, there's incriminating evidence. I think this guy should get the serum jab. All in favor? Yeah, sure, let's see how it goes. And then, it's like playing...
It would really make court cases so much shorter.
But exactly. It's great because then it's like penalty shootout. Well, this guy's missed 5. Those guys have missed 4. If he gets this one, he wins. Everyone's watching. They go, he missed. Well, there we go. There's a winner.
Yeah, but how reliable is it? And that's what's going to be argued against. And medications have different effects on different people.
But that's the thing, Leanne.
Some people have anesthetic, yet they're still awake during the procedure. There are people who can't be hypnotized.
Like I said, it's a work in progress, but we've got amazing scientists that can... I mean, we've put hearts in other people. I mean, we filmed a guy in a moon setting.
Wow.
There's a camera on Mars. Elon Musk can tell... can make electric cars. Like, come on. You can't tell me this is impossible.
Impossible is nothing, right?
Exactly. Impossible just means you haven't done it yet.
I would just be at least...
Serum Court. What a TV show. Who's going to tell the truth in Serum Court? And you could have an absolute, like, jackass judge who's also a bit of a doctor. And you present, like, the evidence and the claims and stuff. And then you get this guy and you tie him to the chair, whatever. Make it a bit dramatic. And then you have, like, a serum countdown. So you inject it. And then this, like, minute countdown goes where the guy's expression on his face gets all, like...
And the clock goes...
And this little timer goes down. Because after the minute, then you got to ask the question. And everyone's like, what's it going to be? And the person's face is now, like, sweating. It's like beaded sweat coming off his face. And then the clock stops. So, did you kill them? Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
highlights lock of the episode.
Lock him up, shackled on, and drag him downstairs.
And then they go, thanks for joining us for Serum Course, coming in next week, where we have a mass murderer who I think he did it. We shall
Ben,
find
don't
it.
Underplay yourself. This actually has some legs to it.
Serum Court, yeah.
Yeah, just take your 14% cut and go about with your day.
Just looking to save time around shit people.
Exactly.
They take shit people take so much of our
time.
Time
and money.
Well, I'd be happy to even be, you know, on a selfish note, I'd just be happy to be at a dinner or at a braai and Oscar's there one day, all pudgy and has a boop and has too many beers and has just like said, oh, you know, one day I shot that girl and I knew I was shooting her. Like, in my mind, that's a little fantasy of mine. I'll be happy with that.
It's not completely unreliable. I mean, Oscar didn't really hold his booze that well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get older and people ignore you, don't care who you are, you might look for attention.
Hey, that's it. All right, let's get into the five things that you need to know, right, on this No Politics Friday. Let me start off with some good news, and then we'll have to go off on some sort of slightly bad tangent. But yesterday, and the first story that you need to know, the fact that yesterday was Valentine's Day, the day of love and this month of love. Well, did you hear about the mass wedding that took place on Robben Island yesterday?
Wasn't it like 11 people?
I think it was so sweet.
11 yeah. couples?
Several couples. They tie the knot on Robben Island in the annual Valentine's Day mass marriage ceremony. Home Affairs Minister Siyabonga Cwele actually accompanied the couples before handing over marriage certificates at a chapel on the island. So this is like legitimate. They're married. It's not one of those fluffy events. They actually have marriage certificates. It's a thing. So Valentine's Day weddings have been happening on Robben Island for 19 years now. And this year, the Garrison Church, where the ceremony is held, hosted the first same-sex marriage as well. How about that?
Nice. Go the gays.
Go the gays. Call it corny, call it sweet. I think it's quite awesome that people were able to do this. So mass marriage that happened on Robben Island yesterday. And then going off to the second story that you need to know this morning, it's quite bizarre that this is happening in Haiti of all places. But the Haitian president yesterday broke his silence after a week of violent protests happening in the country that were demanding his resignation that have left at least 7 people dead. The Haitian president commented on what has been happening, saying, I'll not leave the country in the hands of armed gangs and drug traffickers. This, by the way, was said in a pre-recorded address broadcast on state television, considering the aftermath of clashes between authorities and demonstrators in the capital of, which is Port-au-Prince. So the U.S. State Department, meanwhile, announced that it was recalling all non-emergency personnel from Haiti and warned Americans against traveling to the unrest-plagued nation. So this is quite a thing. The U.S. State Department commented saying there are currently widespread violent and unpredictable demonstrations in Port-au-Prince and elsewhere in Haiti. And so due to these demonstrations on 14 Feb 2019, the Department of State ordered the departure of all non-emergency U.S. personnel and their family members. I don't know about you, but doesn't this sound a little Zimbabwe shutdown-ish?
Yeah.
Citizens are angry, they protest in violence, you wait on authorities to say anything, the president isn't even around to comment on this, and a week after this has been happening, only now does the president have something to say. And I think it's quite telling that he actually even spoke in a pre-recorded address. So he might not even be in the country. He might have filmed it somewhere in an office at his convenience.
Guys, more and more politicians are becoming like asbestos. For some reason, they were created, but ultimately they're hugely hazardous to our health and they should be removed. And these stories, yeah, you're right. It's just like Zimbabwe, sure. And that is where you get these sweaty socialists also coming through and just decaying society even further. It's all predictable.
I never thought to consider politicians
as asbestos.
Asbestos.
Yeah, pretty much same thing. Pretty much same thing. They all believe they're adding something, but they're actually harmful to us.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Speaking of Zimbabwe, by the way, did you hear about these illegal miners trapped in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
23 illegal miners are trapped underground. So rescue efforts are currently still underway for at least 23 illegal miners that are trapped and feared dead at two gold mines in the country. The mines were flooded late on Tuesday by water from a burst dam, and rescue teams are appealing to mining firms to assist with equipment needed to clear water from the mines. So state media says initial efforts to drain the shafts were hampered by a power cut, and the head of the area's civil protection unit, Cecilia Chitio, said two of the shafts are up to 100 meters deep and 30 horsepower pumps are needed to drain the water. So it's believed that at least 23 illegal miners were down the shafts of the two adjoining gold mines, the Silver Moon and the Cricket Gold Mine in central Kadoma on Tuesday night. And heavy rains are said to have caused a nearby dam wall to burst, which triggered the flood.
It's obviously highly annoying that money has time and money again have to be spent on this operation, but can you imagine what sort of mindset these people have to be in to take on these missions that are so risky?
Exactly.
You mean
how desperate you have to be? These illegal miners. Yeah.
In a state of desperation, that's what happens.
Embarking on this complete mission of the unknown.
You know, the desperation of getting money, and you hope that things go well, and for the most part there might be a lot of illegal miners. You know, we know in South Africa we have a big Zama problem.
Oh yeah, there's a big story in it.
Yeah, these things happen all the time. But
you don't get a lot of illegal mining in first world countries, do you?
No.
Or mining.
Or mining, yeah. But like, if there are resources in a more established, stable country, you don't get illegal mining because people aren't desperate.
But then when things don't go well, imagine that. So already you're desperate, and then you're tough in this you're stuck in this horrible situation. And on top of that, it's dark. You don't know if help is coming. You don't know what has happened. And now in this Zimbabwe case, there's water as well. So what if the shafts inside are flooded? It's horror. I do not know where you get the will to try to save yourself and how you get out of a situation like that.
And if you do, you're going to be found guilty of illegal mining on top of that.
Fuck. Yeah, it's a lot. So, shucks, we'll keep our eye on that story. And the fourth story that you need to know this morning, well, six people are still missing after a fishing vessel caught alight at Durban Harbour at the end of Belfast Road yesterday, just after 2:30 in the afternoon. This is what the Rescue Care Organisation has said. So the departments, the Durban's emergency services, including Portnet Fire Department and the Durban Fire Department and ambulance services, were in attendance, were at the scene yesterday afternoon when Rescue Care paramedics arrived. So a ship is believed to be a fishing vessel was on fire, and firefighters worked quickly to contain the blaze. He said that Rescue Care paramedics on the wharf side assessed many of the workers and took three of them to a nearby hospital for further treatment. Six people are unaccounted for currently unaccounted, and once all safe, all necessary authorities will board the vessel and check for workers. It was not yet known how the fire had started, but the SAPS were at the scene and were investigating yesterday. So quite a scary story as well, coming from Durban. But then finally, in the fifth story that you need to know this morning, the family of biker Douglas Pierce, who was killed in an apparent road rage shooting on Malibongwe Drive in Randburg, said they are deeply concerned that the case has dragged on for 5 years. Yesterday marked exactly half a decade since Pierce was shot dead on a busy road during morning traffic in Johannesburg. The accused, I'm going to take a deep breath before pronouncing this, Mikaha Efele. Not even making that up. I'll spell it for your convenience. Mekahahefele. and that's just her first name, Mikayafele Masua, claims that Pierce swore at him and showed him the middle finger, which led to a confrontation. As his family looks back on exactly 5 years ago since Pierce was killed, his mother, Marianne Pierce, says it remains a painful journey for all who knew him. Marianne says, "I want justice for my son. I'm sick of this, and I just can't do this anymore." She wanted to hand in a letter to the Johannesburg High Court on Thursday, detailing how emotional the family is about the numerous postponements, with no indication when the matter will finally run its course. Marianne,
5 years. Serum court, 5 minutes.
Once again, we hear you, Ben. Marianne also appeared to appeal to the National Prosecuting Authority to make sure the pain endured by the families of crime victims doesn't drag on for years. Masua was released on 5,000 rands bail back in February of 2014, and the case is expected to resume today.
So, okay, so this guy is claiming that the guy swore to him and pulled a middle finger. Does that result in death? Was this shooting in self-defense?
Yeah,
does it warrant? I haven't heard a lot of people murdered by a middle finger being shown to them.
Yeah, how did it escalate to...
I mean, jeepers, you got to feel for the family here. It doesn't make any sense.
And the point here still remains, someone died. It's now about how the person who killed that person is accounted for.
I ride a bike. I see what goes on in traffic. A lot of people are just oblivious. A lot of people are on their phones the whole time. They don't see bike. Okay, so let's just say, I'm making this up for the point of a story. The biker, who's now deceased, this guy took it up with whoever this long-named dude is, that he was driving like a prick, to which this guy probably said, "Well, fuck you." Mm-hmm. And then he said, "No, fuck you." And that's how road rage starts. And then how does it jump to murder?
It's a lot. It is a lot. Well, those are the five things that need to know this morning. Ben, do we want to just jump straight to you with Der Sport?
See, we can. Fine. Yes, we can.
Dusticle, what are the headlines?
I don't really do headlines, but I can tell you.
The top briefing one-liners.
Yeah, I can tell you, this weekend we've got rugby to watch, football to watch, golf to watch, cricket to watch, and I've got a story about Sepp Blatter.
There we go.
Cue theme music.
And hold thumbs for no load shedding during all the sport watching.
Yeah, or just the sport right now, wherever you're listening to it. Yeah, look, load shedding is obviously a real kick in the crotch. But if you do have the power, or you know of a bar with the power, I'm quite lucky in that respect. My local bar is a generator.
Generates delinquents like you.
Well, it's a bit of a stretch. Yeah. I was just about to then caveat that story by saying I don't really go to bars anymore.
Okay.
But hey, nice to see how you paint me. Shannon Gabriel, that homophobic West Indian cricketer with the girl's name, has come out and have given a universal, comprehensive, unrelenting apology. You know, people say, like, they apologize nowadays. There has to be some sort of adjective involved. And basically, he also disclosed what he said. So, during the cricket, he was bowling to Joe Root, the effeminate-looking Joe Root, albeit. And he found that Joe Root was giving him the stares. Now, Test cricket is a big psychological game. I mean, you're on the field for a long time. You're trying to beat the guy, trying to get in their head, obviously within ethical means. And Shannon was a bit, like, kind of perturbed by the fact that Root was staring at him. Because, like, when you bowl into a batsman, it's a proper confrontation. This is the thing about Test cricket. It's a real jewel. It's amazing. To which Shannon said, "Why are you smiling at me? Do you like boys?" To which Joe Root then said, "You don't have to make that. There's nothing wrong with liking boys. Why make that a problem? There's nothing wrong with being gay," which is right. You know, we spoke with this earlier in the week. And he said, "Look, I was trying, obviously, to get one over my opponent, so to speak, and what I said was completely just across the line." And he issued an unreserved apology for the comment. And he said that the context was an on-field rivalry, which unfortunately he took a little bit too far. So him and Joe Root have kissed and made up. Sorry, just shook hands. And everything's going to be okay. But he will be suspended for four one-day matches. And now he'll know better. See, now the funny thing is, like, back in the day, okay, when Aussies were like big bearded men and, you know, deep Vs, and cricket was, like, as they say, a man's man game. What would have happened in the 70s is that if the batsman were staring at the bowler, someone like Dennis Lilly would have said, "Why are you staring at me? Are you a puff?" To which the batsman would have gone, no, I'm not a fucking poof. And then they would have carried on with life. So it's nice to see where things have gone. And I do believe, you know, we do live in a more informed, enlightened society where people are going to be slightly nicer to each other. So good on you, Shannon, and good on you, Joe. What an interesting sports story that is. This weekend sees the start of... Well, let's get back to this. Actually, there's more cricket on the go right now. Obviously, South Africa are taking on Sri Lanka. The test match being played in Durban, where they do not give a flying fuck about cricket. A friend of mine tweeted yesterday that media don't even care about, like, local media in Durban don't even care. And local newspapers won't even run the story that there's a test match in their town. So, Durban, don't ever be surprised while you only get Sri Lanka as your test match for the year. Anyway, that's carrying on. The Proteas weren't great in the first innings. 235 all outs. Sri Lanka responded with 191. And SA are currently 126 for 4. Again, the top 5 not really doing much. Algar got 35. Markram 28. Umla 16. Bavuma 3. So currently at the creases, Faf du Plessis and Quinton de Kock. So yeah, that ultimately ended in a South African win. But yeah, Super Rugby, that's happening this weekend. So if you're into that, which everyone kind of is, maybe for the first couple of weeks, and then it just sort of peters out, because let's be honest, between Super Rugby being weird and just unfollowable at times, and the fact that it's other sport, it's just not an easy thing to do. But added to that, it's a World Cup year. So you're going to have randomly like matches where the star players aren't playing because they're being rested in interests of national interests, which is also understandable. So it's just not a good formula here. Super Rugby is trying so hard to restore relevance or just create any. And World Cup year isn't exactly when it's going to happen. Anyway, today, Friday at 8:35, if you have a TV at work or if you just have power at home, Chiefs versus Highlanders. That's going to be a goodie because New Zealand rugby is always fantastic. I think in the history of Super Rugby, which is like Sia's age, basically Sia is Super Rugby. How old is Sia?
24. 1995.
Cool. So basically, Super Rugby is Sia.
Oh.
Any problem is, Super Rugby doesn't have the prospect that Sia has in life.
Oh,
but in the time that Sia has been alive, there's only been 7 occasions when this tournament hasn't been won by New Zealanders. Yeah, so that's why there's a big appeal between these teams. Then we got the Brumbies versus the Rebels at 10:45. Hooray. Then Saturday, Blues versus Crusaders. This is going to be a goodie. And Ma Nonu is back for the Blues. How about that? Sonny Bill Williams will be on the bench for that one. But ultimately, Crusaders, who are probably the best team, defending champions, blah, 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 blah. They should win that one, although they do generally start the season quite slow. Waratahs versus the Hurricanes, 10:45. Then we've got the Sunwolves versus the Sharks at 12:55. Then the Bulls, they'll take on the Stormers in the big North-South derby. Now, I know Super Rugby tries to make a derby out of everything, but this is the only SA derby, actually. No one really cares about the other stuff. And it'll be at 5:15. And then if you really do love rugby, and you really do love your Lions, they'll be playing the Hagawadeth at 20 to midnight on Saturday night. So, into the football. It's a big FA Cup weekend. So if you do like the FA Cup, QPR tonight against Watford. And then Saturday, you'll see the might of Newport County hosting Man Sydney at a stadium called Rodney Parade. How about
Man
that?
Man Sydney.
Man City.
Oh, Man City. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Man Sydney is a bar that opens on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. T-shirts optional. And then Sunday, we got Doncaster Rovers taking on Crystal Palace. How about that for a name? And then Monday's actually the only game you really should be caring about. And that'll be Chelsea, the team that took 6 against Man City. And they wish they were in Man Sydney bar, rather. They'll take on Man United. So Monday is the big FA Cup game, 9:30 on Monday. Monday. Other football news to worry about for the weekend. Well, actually, just kind of off the field slightly. Sepp Blatter has been summoned to basically supply some information around the 2006 Soccer World Cup. Now, see, the 2006 Soccer World Cup, Football World Cup, FIFA mm-hmm. World Cup, call it what you will, that was hosted in Germany. Now, I know everyone looks at Qatar and smells a rat, but apparently there was a big bit of like dodginess around this. And that Franz Beckenbauer, German legend, because he was a player and he was a coach and all these kind of things, he apparently gave Sepp and his cronies 6.7 million euros, basically to say, how about we have it in Germany? And of course, this was basically the start, I believe, of these things getting particularly rotten around this whole process. And well, now Sepp is being called to come in and give some information around this. Now, Diego Maradona said something interesting. He said that even post-Sepp Blatter, Now, the thing is about Diego Maradona, I know he's a crackpot, but you can take him seriously because he's taking drugs a lot, therefore he's on the truth serum. So he tells the truth because he's got no inhibitions whatsoever. He doesn't know where he's coming or going, so his mind isn't unhindered as it normally is with politics and that kind of stuff. And he said, look, under Infantino, under Blatter, it's the same old, FIFA has not changed, you guys are still dodgy bastards. So Sepp, of course, is like, well, he's old now, and he's been banned from football for like 6 years. He's going to be 83 by the time this meeting convenes. What can he really say? Look, I think in everyone's best interest, and in the interest of football, if not that Sepp ever gave a toss about football, he was just there to make money. But in the interest of world football, I think Sepp should be given the immunity idol, which looks just like the World Cup, but just slightly smaller. He should be given the immunity idol, given a damn good writer, and said, right, Sepp, let's hear it. Just give us the no-holds-barred everything story. I'm sure there'll be witch hunts because then Sepp will then incriminate people he doesn't like, but still, let's get the truth serum on Sepp Blatter too. Let's just write one big book so we can save time on this. Well, they bid and this didn't team didn't bid and they gave money and these guys didn't give money. Let's just give Sepp to have an all-time, or like sit him down with Oprah. Give him the Lance Armstrong treatment. One of those two. And then we'll save time. How much time are we looking to save today? It's amazing. In Caster Semenya news, well, you know that the IAAF, who are to PR what Fritzl was to daycare.
Wow.
They basically wanted to then ban Caster Semenya because of the whole testosterone thing. It's an interesting discussion here. If you give me a couple of minutes, I shall divulge. So then it was then postponed because in March there's going to be findings because Caster Semenya and her team obviously appealed this. And then they want to get to the bottom of this once and for all. So if you haven't been part of the story, Caster Semenya has higher testosterone levels than your average female. So what they want to do is then dumb this down with medication so there's more of a level playing field so that your hormones and everything is in line with other women. Now, her lawyers, and I'm going to go with more of the more the story carries on, the more sympathetic I become to Caster. But their lawyers are saying, well, you know, in many sports, genetically gifted athletes are celebrated and made heroes of. Caster, on the other hand, well, she's been demonized because of her genetic makeup. Now, another thing that's happening in sport because of all these sweaty lefties and socialists getting into everything nowadays, that you're getting people who have been males for like 25 years, have a sex change, come back as a woman, win all the women's sports. Now, if you're a man, and I'm a man, so I shall speak about this.
Oh, okay.
I have testosterone flowing through my body, so my bone density is pretty solid. My muscle mass for what I am is pretty strong compared to a relative woman comparison. So if you're going to be a man for all that time, build up all that strength, and suddenly compete in women's things, I don't care if you're transgender, I don't care if you identify as a woman, all these kind of things, on a sporting sense, it's just really, really not fair. So there has been gender testing with no results so far of Caster. But I mean, Caster didn't have a sex change. Caster didn't jump ship. Caster's been Caster from day one, and that's always been her defense. It's like, I just want to run. This is who I am. I just want to run. So make your rules, do whatever you need to do, but I'm just interested in running. She hasn't jumped ship like the other ones, and she hasn't been taking advantage of this stupidity of the left in the world to be like, oh, well, love me because I was once a guy, but now I'm a woman. So, you know, I always sympathize with Caster in that respect because, you know, that her route has been a natural one. She grew up, she was born, she grew up, she wanted to run, she's a runner. But we'll see how this goes because the IAAF can't win here. Because they got so much pressure to make women's sports kind of more competitive and equal, and people with high testosterone aren't, they shouldn't be winning in the eyes of many, many people. But then they got Caster's case, well, I was born like this, so what you got? Either way, I don't believe they can't even win. They might even flip a coin on this one. Who knows? But it's a compelling case that you get naturally gifted athletes, and why can't Caster be seen as naturally gifted? That is the question that I put to you on this Friday.
You put it to us.
Yeah, there's also Six Nations rugby. No, next weekend. Of course, always forget these guys. They can't play week in, week out. Messes with their hair. There is lots of golf this weekend, though. There's more golf in Australia. But then there's the Genesis Open. Now, unfortunately, America is having a lot of the rain on the West Coast. So they actually started the Genesis Open yesterday at normal time for all golf tournaments early in the morning. And then after the torrential rain, they just like, look, I feel really bad for the guys that have gone out. They're soaked. They can't play the normal game. They actually scrapped the original scoring for the first few holes. You don't often see this or ever. I've never seen this in a tournament. So they've got everyone back. And then they said, okay, well, now we can start again. The weather's not so cuck. But either way, Jordan Spieth and Sung Kang, they're currently at -5. Many golfers have not started their rounds, so this might even end up being a Monday finish because the weather does look pretty shite. On the other side, in beautiful fan court, really beautiful, beautiful fan court, is the Dimension Data Pro-Am. Now, the winner of this gets to go to a WGC event, so you do get a decent field, plus you get celebrities and businessmen from all around the world playing with Sunshine Tour professionals. If you are in the Georgia area, if you can get to this, it's just a really cool event. They get to play over the Montagu, Otoniqua, and Lynx layouts on Fancourt. Of course, Fancourt has three world-class golf courses. And it's a really, really interesting tournament because they play all three rounds, and then they play the final round on the Lynx with the celebrity pro-am people. And currently, Rikus Nokia has come out of the blocks firing.
Rikus?
Yeah.
Nokia.
-9. 63. Justin Walters, -8. Yaku van Sale, -7. And then a whole bunch of players at -4. And, yeah. All the way down to Fizukele Kane, who's currently +11. So that is the spread of the Dimension Data Pro-Am right now. And that is it for your sport for this weekend, I do believe. I'm sure there are a few other things, but ultimately those are the big headlines and big talking points that you should know about.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, including an update on the Rikus Nokia.
Yeah. Go Rikus.
You always need to know about the Rikus.
Can Rikus maintain, though?
Can he?
Also, will he hold on to his lead?
Will he?
Find out on Monday.
I just realized we can make that work. I think you and I can have a sporting conversation. No, I'll just answer rhetorical questions.
You know we can't. It's already not cute.
Yes, we will.
It lasted 5 seconds, so yeah, let's not make it any more than it was.
Well, you know about that birdie. What a birdie.
Yeah, sure. Rikus must have had quite a few to be 63.
See? You're already kicking it off. Anyway, let's move on to Set by Sia for this morning. Oh, I love this story. Look, I say I love it because I'm an equal lover and an equal hater. I think I call out people when they're doing wrong, and we avidly and openly talk about politicians when they do wrong on the show. But I'll also congratulate if and when need be. So in this case, I'll have to. But listen to this. It all started off with a simple Facebook post. Marius Buerta lives in Durban and went to a Home Affairs in the Scottsborough area and had incredible, incredible service from one of the Home Affairs staff.
That's because it's like it's a retirement village, so no one's really worrying about getting their shit done there.
And it's so rare when you get amazing service on Home Affairs. So Marius went onto his Facebook and he posted about this woman who really helped him out. Her name is Nosipho Makupeka, who works at the Scottsborough Home Affairs. And so Marius wrote on Facebook, "I want to thank Mrs. Nosipho Makupeka for her unselfish and exceptional service beyond the call of duty. This wonderful lady works at the Department of Home Affairs in Scottsborough. Today at 4 p.m, all her colleagues left their workstations and went home, but Mrs. Makubega stayed and helped the last 40 customers."
Jeez.
"All on her own with a smile on her face. You are my hero. South Africa needs more people like you. Thank you. We salute you." And so that, well, it's Marius's post, and that mere Facebook post got so many shares and comments online because a lot of people actually have had similar experiences with Nosipho Makupeka, you know. So everyone is chiming in saying, "Oh my goodness, yes, this lady actually comes in at 7:15. Well, she starts working at 7:15. Home Affairs there opens up at 7:30, and you really think about those extra 30 minutes. She supposedly sometimes swaps her tea breaks and lunch breaks around, so if there's a long line of people still waiting, and she often stays after hours. Because, you know, she says, rather I help these people out who've made the effort to come here than to leave." So talk about being selfless. It's quite a lot. So the Department of Home Affairs actually caught wind of this, and the Minister of Home Affairs, Siyabonga Gcwele, was actually in Durban this week for business, and he actually scheduled in a visit to go in and see Nosipho Makubega and thank her for going above and beyond her line of duty. And I think this isn't going to, you know, change the economic crisis, but I really do think for the minister of the department to make time to actually go and acknowledge what this woman is doing is amazing. It would be great if she got some other perks and benefits as well for how much she's going above and beyond the call of duty. But the mere fact that he made time in his schedule to go and thank her, I think is really, really meaningful. So this is not a rarity for Nosipho Makubeka at all. She says that, you know, some people arrive at Home Affairs as early as 3 a.m. and she says that she is not going to allow such people leave her building unsatisfied. She says, it pains me to see clients returning the following day because they have not been attended to the previous day. People spend their money and their time to visit our offices and we must ensure that they must reap the benefits thereof. I've told myself that I'm going to spend an extra 2 hours of my time to assist those who could not be assisted every single day. He says, she says, I'm leading by example. I was born to serve the public and I'm proudly doing that. We government servants are employed to serve people excellently. Isn't it awesome to see someone who just loves their job?
Just understands their job as well. This is the thing. It's like you don't have a job because everyone must have a job. You must have a job so you must give something to society. Mm. Like you must actually perform a service.
It's really remarkable. And then in closing, she says, I preach that if we want to be treated well, we must first treat others well. I don't want to see colleagues harassing our people. I encourage them to have listening skills and try to provide answers to our clients. And then regarding the minister's visit to Home Affairs this week, Makubeka said she was excited that her work was recognized by the top office in the department. She says that the minister brought her flowers and chocolates, and she says she'll never forget the day. The minister embraced me and said he was proud of my work. He told me that I have painted a beautiful image of the department and should continue serving clients with respect and dignity. So yeah, really it's one of those drop in the water and sweet things to see a person like Nosipho Makubeka who's been working for the department for 30 years now.
Jeez, that hasn't even jaded her.
Not at all. She's 53 years old. She's a mother of four and she's still absolutely so passionate about her work and makes sure that everyone leaves having experienced an awesome time at Home Affairs.
It's really good.
Yeah, I think that's a sweet one. And to you, Nosipho Makubeka, and to many more, the names we shall never know, but to you who goes above and beyond and is always being selfless, I hope you do get the favor returned in some way, shape, or form. And kudos to you. So that's your Sit by Sia for this morning.
Very nice.
Yes. So it's just gone a little past 7 this Friday morning on the Gareth Cliff Show. Did say at the top of the hour that Gareth is off sick this morning and he'll be back on the show on Monday. But after this, we'll be back with more news stories and some discussions. And then also George Meany will be popping by with the Auto Central PowerPod. So much more coming to you this Friday morning on the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.